Okay, we're going to be in Galatians 4:6, and you may be thinking to yourself, hey, didn't we do that last week? And you'd be exactly right. But we didn't cover what all we needed to cover. There's no way I can pass up what we're going to talk about this morning. But in kind of response to Matt's prayer, there's something that's very important for us to remember, and that is the Bible says, you know what? It doesn't matter how much you know. If you have not love, you are nothing. We need to remember that. At this, it doesn't matter how big of a deal you think you are, how educated you are, how much of the Bible you know. If you don't have love, you're worth nothing. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. All right, let's look at Galatians. We're actually going to look at Galatians 3:26 and 4:6. This morning, I've entitled this, The Ministry of the Holy Spirit. You just can't pass that up. I'm going to talk about some things that are very, very important for us to know. I'm going to talk about my son Jake around the end of the service. Now, usually when I talk about one of my kids when they were growing up, I paid them to talk about them. But I don't do that anymore. But there's still times that I think to myself, you know, Lord, I want to grow up and be like Becky in this area. Or, Lord, I want to grow up and be like Jake in this area. Or, Lord, I want to grow up and be like Ryan in this area. And so as I was preparing this sermon, one of the things that just really, just one of those things that just is amazing to me about our middle son, Jake. And I'm going to use him with his permission as an illustration. Closer to the end of the service, the sermon. So let's look first back at Galatians 3:26. The Bible says you are all sons of God through what? Through faith in Christ Jesus. That's super important, super critical. There's kind of a false teaching that we are all sons of God just by the fact that we were created. That's false. We are all God's creation, but only those of us, the Bible says, that have put our faith in Jesus Christ have the right to become children of God. Amen? So the Bible says, without any hesitation, you are all sons of God, those of you who have put your faith in Christ Jesus. And then in Galatians 4:6, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of His Son, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so the fact that we can now call God our Abba, Father, means that we now have, because we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we now have an intimate and personal relationship with God the Father through His Spirit that lives in us. Amen? And so this leads us to point number one, and don't miss this. Point one actually separates Christianity from all other major religions, okay? Point number one in your notes, this new relationship we enjoy as sons of God is more than just a favorable position with God, but includes an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, all right? So not only does God redeem us from sin through the sacrifice of His only Son, Jesus Christ, but He also desires a personal and intimate relationship with us through the presence of His Holy Spirit that He puts in us when we put our faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, seals us as children of God, and then gives us the ability to personally relate to and call upon God as our loving and caring Abba Father. Amen? And so we see God, listen to this, don't miss this, this is huge. We see God giving all of Himself to have a relationship with us. It's an amazing truth found in Scripture. The whole Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, God involved in redeeming mankind and making us dearly loved children of God, Galatians 4, 4 through 6. Now think about that for a moment, because this is an incredible truth. It's really important for you to understand here that the Father gave his Son to die for you and I. The Father sent his Son off from the glory of heaven to die for you and I. The Son left the glory of heaven and came to earth to take all of our sin upon himself, the Bible says, and die for us on the cross so that we could receive his forgiveness. Actually die in our place on the cross, because the Bible says that because of our sins we deserve death. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Then God would send the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, those of us, every person who would believe in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Meaning, we would believe that Jesus is himself God. That's why Matthew 1, 2, 3 says he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So when we believe in the person of Jesus Christ, who he is, that he is God's only way to heaven, and that he is God's Son, and he himself is the Lord God, our Savior. When we believe in the person of Jesus Christ, and when we believe in the work of Jesus Christ, that he did come to this earth in the form of a human being, and he lived for 33 years a sinless life, obeyed every word of God at every point in his life, regardless of what he was going through, he lived a perfect life, which made him the perfect Savior to die in our place. You can't have a Savior who has sin. He can't save anybody from sin if he's got sin in his life, right? But he was the perfect Savior that would die in our place on the cross so that we could be forgiven. Now, this is important. So Jesus didn't just release us from prison, meaning the prison in this case of sin and death. The Bible says we were all prisoners to sin and to death. But Jesus didn't just release us from prison and then let us go on our own, like prisoners do when they get released here, trying to somehow figure out how we're going to survive on our own. I have family members that have been in prison, been released from prison, and then somehow try to figure out, how in the world am I going to survive out here on my own? Just send me back to prison. But Jesus didn't just release us from prison. He gave us his Spirit to make sure that we know we are now children of God, no longer left to survive on our own. Amen. And listen, if you study them, and I have, no other religion offers this kind of intimate, loving, personal relationship with its so-called God or deity. Only Christianity. In fact, all other major religions are characterized by a non-personal relationship with a divine entity for the purpose of rewards for bad behavior. Number two. Number one, this new relationship we enjoy as sons of God is more than just a favorable position with God, but it involves an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Number two, the Son's purpose is to secure our legal position before God, while the Spirit's purpose is to secure our personal experience with God. Let me say that again. The Son's purpose is to secure our legal position before God, while the Spirit's purpose is to secure our personal experience with God. For instance, look at 1 Corinthians 2:19 through 10. It is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deepest things of God. And this is huge for us as God's children. You see, whenever our spirits connect with his Spirit, as we cry out, Abba, Father, verse 6, in other words, as we pray to him, we are shown his will for our lives. And being able to determine God's will, listen to this closely, being able to determine God's will is the longing of every sincere follower of Jesus Christ. And so this phrase, crying Abba Father in verse 6, indicates the sense of a real experience with God when praying to him. Put another way, when believers are experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit, there is a closeness to God that is very real, personal, and empowering. Which brings us to point number three this morning. Number one, this new relationship we enjoy as sons of God or children of God is more than just a favorable position with God, but it includes an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Listen to what one author says. And I don't think I put this in your notes. I didn't have room. Real Christianity is not merely a religion. It's a relationship with a person. His name is Jesus Christ. And it's an intimate love relationship with God. Through this relationship, God reveals his will and invites you to join him where he is at work. When you obey, he accomplishes through you something only he can do. Then you come to know God in a more intimate way by experiencing him at work in your life. Number two, the Son's purpose is to secure our legal position before God, while the Spirit's purpose is to secure our personal experience with God. And then number three, the Holy Spirit and God's Word always, always work together for revealing God's will. The Holy Spirit and God's Word always work together to reveal God's will. Look at what Jesus told his disciples there in your notes in John chapter 14, 15 through 17. If you love me, Jesus said, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and he will be in you. And so here Jesus is promising his disciples that when he is gone, he will pray to the Father for them, and God will send them the Holy Spirit to lead them. And then look at what Christ tells them that the Spirit's role will be in their lives. John 16, 13 in your notes. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears from his heavenly Father, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. In other words, the Holy Spirit's job is to guide the believer to the will of God according to the Word of God. In fact, don't miss this. There's a real danger. There's a real danger in thinking we can know the will of God outside of the Word of God. There's an incredible danger in that, and people do this, and they're often driven, instead of the Word of God, they're driven by their feelings. They're driven by their opinions. They're driven by their culture. What feels good to them instead of the truth of God's Word. And I submit to you today that nothing can lead you astray faster than following your feelings. In fact, That's one of the reasons our world is so messed up right now. We've got people believing in their feelings over and above the truth of God's word. And now it has become popular in our culture for everyone to search for their own truth. Because it's never occurred to them, if everyone has their own truth, then no one actually has truth. Because truth is universal. That means truth applies to all of life, meaning you cannot make it up as you go along. You cannot make it up according to your experiences and according to your feelings. Truth is absolute and it's universal. Absolute meaning it ain't going to change whether you like it or not. It ain't going to change whether you agree with it or not. It's not going to change because you don't feel like it's truth. It's absolute and it's universal. It applies to all of life, period. Let me give you an example. I can give you a bunch, but I'll just give you one. I shared this with the graduating seniors this last May. Gravity is an absolute and universal truth for all of life, period. Now, you may feel like a bird today. You might even make noises like a bird. You might even dress up like a bird. But if you climb the water tower over here and you jump off, guess what? You're going to find out in a big, fat hurry you're not a bird. And you're going to experience an absolute and universal truth of God called gravity that applies to all of nature, period. And without this absolute truth, without this universal truth, it doesn't matter how much you feel like a bird, you act like a bird, you sound like a bird, or you dress like a bird, if you jump, you're going to die. Why? Because you denied one of God's absolute and universal truths for his creation called gravity. And I can name a whole bunch of them, and if you think long enough, you can too. Water. Without water, what lives? Nothing. Everything dies. That is an absolute and universal truth for all of life. Everything has to have H2O. And without the absolute and universal truths of God's word, my friends, we are doomed. We are a world filled with chaos and destruction. And listen to me closely, no man can fix that for you. No man. I don't care who he thinks he is, can fix that for you and I. Therefore, the Holy Spirit will never lead you, never, apart from the Word of God, listen, that he himself inspired. Amen? The Holy Spirit will never lead you apart from the Word of God. And I hope that you're sitting there going, wow, I see how desperately I need the Word of God in my life every day. That's what I was thinking of when I wrote this sermon. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 in your notes, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture, no truth of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by the act of a human will, but men moved or inspired by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Point number four. Number one, this new relationship we enjoy as sons of God is more than just a favorable position with God. It includes an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Secondly, the Son's purpose is to secure our legal position before God, while the Spirit's purpose is to secure our personal experience with God. Number three, the Spirit and God's Word always work together in revealing God's will. You cannot know the will of God apart from the Word of God, period, end of discussion. Number four, to understand the Holy Spirit's guidance, you must be committed to obeying God's Word. To understand the Holy Spirit's guidance, you must be committed to obeying God's Word. When God speaks to you, I've got a news flash for you. When God speaks to you, He expects you to obey, period. Regardless of your feelings, regardless of your circumstances, or regardless He speaks to you and I, He expects us to obey. And if you want the Holy Spirit to reveal God's will to you, then you must be willing to surrender your will to Him and earnestly seek the will of God first and foremost in your life. In other words, don't expect to hear a word from the Holy Spirit when He already knows you have your own agenda going on in spite of what God's Word has to say about it. And secondly, if there's no spiritual growth taking place in your life, I'm not talking about gaining knowledge. I'm talking about spiritual growth. If there's no spiritual growth taking place in your life, then there will be no understanding when it comes to the will of God. So your next move is to be honest with God. Draw near to God with a sincere heart and confess and repent of the lack of spiritual growth in your life. And ask the Holy Spirit to give you the discipline to be in God's Word, the absolute and universal truth for all of life, every day. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:21, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. And the Bible says in Psalm 50:22, repent, all of you who forget me. Repent, all of you who ignore me. One commentator writes, there is no escape. There is no heaven with a little hell in it. There is no place to retain this or that of the devil in our hearts or in our pockets. Out, Satan must go. Every hair and every feather. One of the things that I love about our middle son, Jake, is just this raw honesty and integrity that comes from him. He is so authentically honest that it just draws people to him. People absolutely love to be with him because of his integrity and his authenticity. In fact, I got a text from his father-in-law 2 days ago that said, thank you for Jake. Jake is a true gift to our family. As a grown man, Jake will call me. And this right here shows the kid's humility, because I called him and I read this to him and I said, dude, I don't want to embarrass you. He goes, you're not going to embarrass me, Dad. Go ahead and read it. Go ahead and say it to the church. That does not embarrass me. As a grown man, Jake will call me and he'll say, Dad, I need you to pray for me because I'm scared. I can count on one hand how many men have ever called me and said, hey, Chris, I need you to pray for me because I'm scared. Right? Because, I mean, the ironic thing is we're all scared. Every one of us in this room is scared. We're scared right now of something in our lives. And that's the reality of life. We're all scared, but we don't want anyone to know about it. We do everything we can to cover it up. Or Jake may call and say, Dad, I need you to pray for me because I'm so confused. I just can't figure out how to handle this situation. How many men do you know confess that to you? But again, if we were being totally honest, we would all admit that we're confused and we're scared. And we don't know how to handle certain things in this life. If we really had integrity and humility and this kind of authenticity, we would all admit that. We'd admit it to our wives. We'd admit it to our children. We'd admit it to our friends. But many times, we're not about to admit we're scared and confused. In fact, many are determined never to let anyone see them sweat. You remember that commercial? Those of you who are older like I am, you remember that commercial? Yet it's this raw honesty that God seeks. And it draws our hearts closer to the heart of God. And it's this authenticity that the Spirit is looking for. And it's what connects our spirit to the Spirit of God. One of my best friends who went to Texas Tech and then immediately became a model and began, he went to other countries to model, was sharing this with me in humility the other day on the phone and just talking about how he got over there and the Lord humbled him. The Lord just immediately humbled him, and he was so distraught and so distressed. And then he began to tell me about how he just began seeking the Lord, and then the Lord brought somebody into his life that was in love with Jesus Christ. And he said, man, it was a game changer for me, Irvin. Anyway, I won't tell you the rest of the story, but it changed his life. And look at what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9 in your notes. For the Lord, the eyes of the Lord, move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support anyone whose heart is completely his. I'm always amazed at what God is doing in Jake's life, but I shouldn't be, because God is searching to and fro throughout the earth to strongly support those whose heart are completely honest and authentic before him. In closing, listen to what one author writes. This is a man, he's writing about a man named George Mueller, which is one of the most famous missionaries that ever lived. Mueller was a missionary back in the 1800s, and the author writes, when Mueller felt led to minister, he prayed, listen to this closely, he prayed for the needed resources and told no one else. He wanted everyone around him to know that God had provided for the need in answer to prayer and faith. And by the time he died, listen to this. This dude lived in the 1800s. By the time he died, he had distributed more than $8 million and provided for more than 10,000 orphans in answer to prayer and faith. Now listen to this testimony by George Mueller himself. I never remember a period that I ever sincerely and patiently sought to know the will of God by the teaching of the Holy Spirit in connection with the Word of God, but that I've been always directed rightly. But if honesty of heart and uprightness before God were lacking, or if I did not patiently wait upon God for instruction, or if I preferred the counsel of my fellow man to the declaring of the word of the living God, I made great mistakes. Then he goes on to say, this is how he sought the word of God. In the beginning, I seek to get my heart into such a state that it has no will of its own. 9/10 of the difficulties are overcome when our hearts are ready to do the Lord's will, whatever it may be. Keith and I had that conversation a couple of days ago. Having done this, I do not leave the result to feeling or simple impression. If so, I make myself liable to great delusions. Man, if we could learn to sincerely, honestly, and patiently seek the will of God, and if we were willing to pray for the Holy Spirit to show us the will of God in connection with the Word of God, and then be ready to follow the Word of God, the Word we have from God, even if other people don't agree, even if it doesn't seem logical, then, don't miss what I'm about to tell you, I'm closing with this statement, then we can begin to really enjoy and experience an intimate and exciting relationship with our Abba Father. And that, my friends, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Would you join me in prayer this morning?